The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. Now how to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. I'm going to do a series of Dharma talks on a general subject, how our meditation and training in the precepts affects the suffering of the world. Everyone who does this training knows that it affects their own suffering. And anyone who does it over a long period of time knows that over that long period of time, there are many beneficial effects in their own life of the training. Yet in addition to this, there is a profound effect of the training of each individual upon the wider world. It is an effect that is visible in part, but only in a small part. And the greater part of the effect is not very visible. It's not very evident to our senses and to our intellect. So I want to talk in a series of Dharma talks, small series of Dharma talks, about this less visible, the less visible consequences of our training upon the wider world. We need a starting place. And its starting place will really be the raw material of training and enlightenment. And the raw material of training and enlightenment is greed, hate, and delusion. And right at the outset here, it's very important to understand that the raw material of enlightenment of which I'm speaking here is in its origins very raw and very savage, and that this is evident in the whole development of life on our planet. And it's evident in many, many ways in the savagery of societies, tribes, peoples, nations, and individuals in a pre-converted state. There's no moral judgment implied here. In order to enlighten something, you have to have something to be enlightened. And the dark roots of karma are very dark and very twisted, very confused, and very anguished. The next thing that you need is you need a bodhisattvic intention to somehow arise out of this mass of suffering, mass of ignorance. And the very darkness and anguish of it eventually gives rise to this bodhisattvic intention. And eventually it comes to fruition in a great cry for help that comes right out of someone's heart. somehow when that cry comes out of our heart, we know that there is that which to which that cry is directed. Yet at that time we both know it and we don't know it. We know that it's there somewhere, but where it is, what it is, how it can help us, we're utterly blind to these things. So you can say that in addition to that raw material of enlightenment, in order to have that bodhisattvic intention arise and get moving, you need that quiet knowing without knowing that there is that source of help. And at some point, that confusion and spiritual darkness, that anguish, and that spiritual intuition, which is that knowing without knowing, the little inextinguishable light of faith within us, come together and give rise to the bodhisattvic intention. Many, many people would like to become bodhisattvas. But as very Master Jiyu so often pointed out, not many people want to pay the price that would have to be paid to really walk the bodhisattvic path. This series of talks will really be about the consequences, the effects upon the world of any person walking the bodhisattvic path. It's hard to explain things that one doesn't really understand intellectually. And that's why doing Dharma talks is often very challenging and why one has to really so often reach inside oneself for that help from something greater, so we can at least try to give some impression of what one has come or is coming to have some understanding of in experience and in intuition, but perhaps not so much in intellect. So I'll leave this talk with a little metaphor that has come up for me when I'm kind of pondering on how to express something that I believe that I've been shown about this topic that I'll be talking about. We know that if we go and cut down a tree or find a dead tree in the woods, and you take a saw and you or an axe and you cut up the wood and you dry the wood over a period of time, but then you can build a fire with that wood and you can get a substantial amount of heat out of it. You can use that heat to cook, you can use that heat to heat a building, you can make charcoal with the wood and you can use it to the heat of that charcoal to melt metals, do all kinds of things with that heat. You needed a fuel, or you can extract coal or oil from under the ground, and those are much richer sources of carbon, so you get much more intense heat out of those sources. There's much more energy in those sources than in wood. But if you seriously want a whole lot of heat, a whole lot of release of energy, which is what that heat is the sign of, there's no better way known than to start some kind of nuclear reaction. And in a nuclear reaction, whether it be fission or fusion, a little bit of the mass of some substance is being converted into energy. And it's a tiny part of the mass. But out of even a tiny bit of mass, vast amounts of energy are released. Mathematically, this goes back to Einstein's E, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. It's saying that equation is saying that in even the smallest amount of mass, if you can convert it to energy, pure energy, a vast amount of energy is released. That mass and energy are really equivalent. Well, in this series of talks, this is a metaphor for what happens when even a small amount of that dark, confused, savage, ignorant, raw material, when even a small amount of what's called the selfish self is truly converted spiritually into compassion, love, and wisdom. What is released in that conversion is a flood of merit that is great proportionally in comparison with normal, what we think of as good deeds, as the energy released in a nuclear reaction is great in comparison to the burning of wood or oil or coal. And in these talks that I'll be doing, I'll be trying to kind of open a little window into this process insofar as I am able to do so.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.